Now, this is completely unscripted. By the way, our radio show, Faith Unscripted, can be heard on... Never mind. But as I, Shelton, as I listened to you, and that was a magnificent. I mean, the word magnificent doesn't quite do enough. But as I listened, I heard one great theme coming through that whole song. That is, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know a lot, you know. We don't know. We have tomorrow. So we don't know what the future holds for us, either the near future or the remote future, assuming we have a remote future. But what did the song say? He said, but what I do know is that if Jesus leads me, I will be home someday. And that is not only the message of that song, in some ways that's the message of the gospel, and in some ways that's the message of Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And Mother's Day is a hard day to preach on, because while everybody has a mother, every one of us has a mother who is flawed. You know, there is no perfect mother. Now, my mother would, if were she here, would come out with a rolling pin after me after she heard that one. But in fact, our moms are human beings, and they have brokenness in their life that affects them. So they're not going to be perfect. But what did they give us, right? Every one of them gave us the gift of life. Were it not for our mothers, good, bad, or indifferent, were it not for our mothers, we would not be here. And beyond giving us the gift of life, they nurtured that life when we were too small to do anything but poop in a diaper and get changed. So our mothers are, for most of them anyhow, models for us of selfless love. They loved us before they knew what they were getting. And once they got it, they loved us into who we are now, for better or for worse. And for that, we should be grateful. And I guess all of us have stories about our mothers. Do you have stories about your mothers? In my family, well, and maybe in yours, if your mother kissed a scraped knee or bruised feelings, what would happen? It got better, right? I kissed it and it got better. Was Kevin here? Kevin, did you learn that in medical school? I'm sorry? That's right. Your mother, the nurse, taught you. So, my mother, too, you know, I kiss something and makes it better. Did that work? Yeah, it did. Why? Because it was love. Because love makes things better. I didn't understand that whole dynamic until I was flying, and I forget where I was flying to. I was going from one place to another. And I had reached the age where I no longer liked to sit by the window for the view. I liked to sit on the aisle for the men's room. So I'm sitting in the aisle, or in the aisle seat, and there are two seats empty next to me. And I'm an outgoing introvert. So I am sitting there praying that no chatty person is gonna sit next to me. I have a book, I wanna read my book, and I don't want anyone talking me up for an hour in an airplane. So I'm sitting there, I was reading Thomas More's Something with Soul, Living with Soul, something, Care of the Soul. And I'm watching sort of up, because the book is my protection, I'm gonna read it. And you know types of people, right? So I saw people coming on who didn't look like they would bother me too much, you know, older folks. People with children, people who would just not be interested in me. Then I saw one person, and I said, uttering a prayer, Lord, not him. Not him. He was scruffy, he had a beard. He was wearing khaki shorts like that you hike in and hiking shoes. He was carrying a bag, and I said to myself, I know he's got granola in that bag. I know it. And the Lord did not hear my prayer that day. So he turned into my aisle, which made the book all the more important. Nose in the book. So I'm reading it, and he put the bottom of his pants on. It's true. You can't make this stuff up, right? He had these pants that there were bottoms they zipped on. Never seen them before or since. He changed his shoes. He opened his bag, and there was an apple and granola. See, I had him pegged. So he sits down, and I'm reading my book, and I can see he's looking over his shoulder. And I'm all the more intent on the book, and he said, oh, what are you reading? And I'm not rude, so I said, oh, Care of the Soul by Thomas More. And he said, oh, what's it about? So I explained this. And he said, that's interesting, and he started talking to me about it. So I figured the battle was lost. I closed the book. And I said, what brings you here? He said, well, I'm going back to Denver. I'm a rabbi. He said, and I've been here at Rhinebeck for a week on a mindfulness retreat. I said, oh, that's interesting, lying just a bit. I said, how does it work? So he had his Hebrew Bible, and he said, well, in the morning, for example, we would go down to this nice room. It's quiet and pleasant and all that stuff. And we'd open up a book, and he opened up his Bible, and he said, and we just sort of put my finger, I'd just put my finger in it. He said, I'd read the verse. And then he said, oh, look at that. That's an interesting word. He just pointed at a word. And I said, oh, what is it? Now I'm playing into my own misery, right? I said, what is it? So glad I asked that question. He said, that's the word rachamim. It means compassion. Then he said, its root is the word rachem. That means womb. See, the genius of the Hebrew language is that compassion is expressed in terms of motherhood. And what is the womb? It's a place of safety. It's a place of warmth. It's a place of love. And so when the Hebrew language formed, there was that sense of the femininity of compassion itself. And compassion is the womb of God. So what is motherhood? Because all of us, to a certain extent, can embrace it within us. Motherhood is to know how to be compassionate to the people around us. Julian of Norwich, 15th century, I think she was, anchorite, Dame Julian, they called her. She was like a cloistered nun. And she lived during the time of the Black Death, so we pandemic folks can relate to her. And in that time, she got very sick. She recovered, but she had these experiences of the presence of Christ. She wrote them down. She called them showings. And in fact, her book is the first book ever written in the English language by a woman. And Julian said, she said, God is both our father and our mother. She said, and her experience of Christ, her mother, was this boundless love that we see on the cross. This boundless love that pours into our lives and we don't deserve it. It is pure gift. Just like a mother's love is. Just like a mother's love is. And then she wrote, she said, and there was no wrath in him. when she experienced the presence of God, she says, there's no wrath. She said, the wrath was all in me. God is pure compassion. And when we live in compassion, we live in God. And when we fail to live in compassion, when we live in hatred and anger and bitterness, then we choose to live in nothingness. Because only God is. He says to Moses, I am, the verb to be. If you're not in him, you are not. You are not. Carl Jung, the great psychiatrist, wrote that every one of us has in our psyche both are dominant. Say if you're a guy, your maleness, and your female, and there's the contrary. If you're a man, you have an anima, that's sort of a female dimension to your personality that needs to be explored and embraced. And the same thing for women; they have an animus, a male dimension of your personality that also needs to be explored and embraced. So, every one of us, male or female, has the capacity to become mothering lovers, compassionate, loving, embracing, forgiving, generous, and committed. Committed, knowing that there is nothing that we can do to separate us from the beloved. And so the gospel that Steve read, the Gospel of John, that beautiful great commandment, tells us, here's what I want you to do, gang. This is the night before he died. This is the great commandment. These are our marching orders. And Jesus says, here's the simple thing. I love the Father and the Father loves me, and that love is so powerful we can only be thought of as one, not two. And the power of that love surrounding us, that's the Spirit. So you got three, you got the Trinity there. So as the Father loves me, so have I loved you. Jesus loves us so much, he can't distinguish us from him. That's how much we're loved. And then he says, okay, here's the trick for you. Love one another as I have loved you. How does he love us? He loves us with no strings attached. He loves us passionately, willing to suffer for us. He gives everything. On that cross, every drop of his blood is poured out for the beloved. And he says to us, hold nothing back and keep no one away. There is no other. There are only brothers and sisters that you haven't met. And when you meet them, love them. Accept them. Embrace them. Forgive them. Hold nothing away from them of your love, because that's who I am and that's who you must be if you are to be my disciple. And so, what's the challenge of this gospel? The challenge of this gospel is to be rachamim, to be compassion. It's not enough to know how to define it. Anybody can do that with a dictionary. We must be it. We must live into it. And every person here, the women, the mothers, bless you. The ones of you who aren't mothers, bless you too. Because you've got that compassion, loving spirit. It's built in. And the guys, all of us, have the capacity to embrace the mothering love within us. Love that was first taught to us by human mothers, as fallible as they have been, who have been so generous in any event that we are here. And we have faith. And we know that we walk with Christ. And as long as we know that, whatever we don't know doesn't matter, because we will be led at some point safely to